let's pray together as we open up God's word. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for your faithfulness through all this year, and Lord, for your faithfulness to us, Lord, in the years ahead of us. And thank you so much for your goodness and all that you've seen us through this year. And Lord, we gather to just say thank you. Lord, we want to pray particularly for the people in Kololo, Lord, as Nigel installed. I pray that you may empower him with your spirit, that he may be able to pastor and shepherd your flock with love and gentleness and skill and wisdom, Lord. I pray that those people may be, Lord, supportive of Nigel, and also, Lord, that they may commit themselves to the fellowship and also to be active in the work of your kingdom. So, Lord, we pray that as we gather here and as they gather there, that, Lord, you may fill us, Lord, with your power, Lord, with the power of your spirit, that we may be able to accomplish the call that you have upon us as your children. And, Lord, we ask that you teach us through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Book of Philippians chapter 3. It's good to remember that each year that comes to pass, that our salvation, our move to heaven is another year closer. And we are another year closer to the return of the Lord, apart from being another year old as well. And in the book of Philippians today, we are going to learn from Paul's instruction and his testimony of moving on. So that's the theme of our study this morning, moving on. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17, Paul says, "Not that I have already attained or already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." And in verse 17, "Brethren, join in following my example and not those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern." Paul gives his own testimony and also encourages us to have the same attitude that he had, the practice or the attitude of moving on. Constant growth and constant involvement in God's ministry. Now, we read about Paul's biography in the book of Acts, and his is one of maturity, spiritual maturity. We see Paul having great experiences walking with God, how his salvation alone, his conversion was quite a powerful one. God himself spoke to Paul and revealed himself to him as he shone down from heaven with his brilliance that blinded Paul for a while. We see a lot of success. He planted many churches. He made so many sacrifices. Many times was shipwrecked and beaten and persecuted. And those things may, and actually, naturally, should cause us to think that Paul should have had an attitude of perfection and having accomplished all that he had to. Yet he says that this was not so. He was pressing on for more and much, much more. There was more ahead of Paul. And he writes this letter from Rome. Actually, this is probably one of his last journeys. Church history records that he had another one towards Spain when he was from Rome. But this is towards the end of Paul's life. This is one of the last letters he wrote. He has traveled, he has preached, he had discipled, he had planted churches, and is not sitting down resting. He's not thinking, "Oh, I have done it all, I've finished, I'm just waiting to die." He says, "No, there is much more ahead. And sadly, it's common for us Christians, even leaders in some places, especially those who are accomplished, to cultivate that attitude of, we've done it, we can just sit and relax, take a holiday. And we get blinded by our own success, or even failures. We fail to go for more ahead. Paul realized that he had not arrived. There was only one option thus, and he chose it. He pressed on. He moved on. There was no turning back. And there are two things that we're going to learn this morning from Paul's example, as he says here. One is going to be constant growing in Jesus Christ. We have to commit ourselves to constantly growing in Jesus Christ individually. And secondly, we have to commit to participate in his work. And the last, actually verse 16, he calls us to unity, that this is all impossible if we are divided. He says, be of the same mind. He calls the church, he calls us children of God to be united of one mind. So first of all, committing to growing in Jesus Christ. In verses 12 to 14, he says, not that I have already attained. I have not got everything. I have not finished every work that God had called me to do. And he says, I'm not even perfect yet. So Paul talks about two things. He talks about the work that God called him to do, but he also talks about his own personal Christian walk. He had to attain something, that's ministry, but he also was working towards personal growth. We read in Exodus chapter 14, verse 15, when the Israelites got stuck at the Red Sea, the Egyptian army was coming against them. There was a sea ahead of them. There was a mountain, actually mountains on both sides. They had nowhere to go. And they cried out to the Lord. And God told them in Exodus chapter 14, verse 15, why do you cry to me? Why are you acting like crybabies? And God told Moses to tell the Israelites, tell the children of Israel to go forward. And God is telling us to go forward. 2013 could have been the worst year of your life, a difficult one, but we cannot get stuck here. It's coming to an end. We have to go forward to 2014. In Mark chapter 2, verse 11, Jesus said to the man he had just healed, rather he was going to heal, he told him, I said to you, rise, take up your bed, and go. Just don't be healed and stay there in the same place. Get up, you're healed, take up your bed, and go. Move on from that place. One Christian said, just as a child is a perfect human being, but still far from perfect in all its development as a man, so the true child of God is also perfect in all parts, although not yet perfect in all stages of his development in faith. And so are we. We are not fully perfect, so we choose to move on just like Paul did. A child cannot wait to be bigger and stronger, so we should not sit there as we are and feel we've already attained, but always want to grow and mature, be like Jesus. Paul says that Christ had laid something on him, and that's the ministry. It says there in verse 13, rather at the end of verse 12, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Jesus took Paul. He laid his hands on Paul. He took him and said, Paul, you're mine, and I'm going to send you to accomplish something. And Paul says, I am going to lay hold. I'm going to hold on to that which Christ has called me to hold. Just like he held me, I'm going to hold on to those things that he gave to me. And that is ministry. Apart from that, he says, I'm not yet perfected. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, The Bible says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Paul, every Christian and us today are held by Jesus, owned by Jesus, that we may be conformed to the image of his son. And that's why Paul says, I'm not yet perfected. I'm yet to be conformed fully in the image of Jesus Christ. Of course, that will happen at the end of his life. But for now, he says, I commit myself to move on. I commit myself to grow. One area of growth is our own personal walk with Jesus Christ. And none of us is perfect yet. And we will never be perfect at any time in this life. We will be perfected when we leave this planet and go home, or when Jesus comes for us. But we are called to be conformed to the image of Jesus, of God's Son. That is called Christ-likeness. Jesus is calling us to move on to Christ-likeness as we get into 2014. Paul is writing from a prison, like I said, and even in prison, he's not just there wailing, God, why me in this prison? Oh, when will I get out? Oh, why am I suffering too much? He is writing down and saying, you know what, I don't care whether I'm in prison or not. I pray that Christ would be seen in me, that even this prison experience would work and help me towards Christ-likeness, that even my jailers may see Jesus in me, that those who persecuted him, that the Nero he was to face, the Emperor of Rome, would see Jesus in him. We see Paul's faith not wavering. From time to time, we see his faith growing. And we should commit to grow in faith. And we practically need to commit and make time for personal prayer, personal Bible study, and personal worship. Those are the only ways that we will grow individually. That each one of us in this room, as we wind up this year and enter the next, that we would commit to personal prayer, personal Bible study, and worship. Of course, we'll continue gathering together on Wednesdays and Sundays to worship, to fellowship, to learn from God's word. But each one of us individually need to make time for individual growth, knowledge in the word, communication with God in prayer, and adoring God in personal worship. We are not yet perfected and we are not yet there, but we press on, we move on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. So apart from personal growth, God had laid on ministry a call. And that call was to be a witness to Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. We find that in Acts 9:15, when Paul met Jesus. But the Lord said to him, Acts 9:15, go, for he is a chosen vessel, of mine, to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Paul talking about what God had laid of him, on him, he was talking about ministry, what he was purposed to do in this life. And all of us were made by God to accomplish something. Each one of us in this room was born to accomplish something in God's kingdom. For Paul to preach to the Gentiles, to the kings, and to the Jews, to you, wherever God has placed you, he has called you to be his witness. One who lives to testify of who he is. He is Lord, he is King. And one who testifies personally to know him and to have experienced his goodness, his faithfulness, his power, and every blessing that we enjoy. And we are to be Jesus' witnesses to those outside of the faith, and for us who are in the faith, to deeply love one another. We all have to commit to exercise our God-given gifts and use our God-given abilities and resources to benefit others in God's kingdom, to benefit others in this church. Everything that God has given us is not just for us to have and enjoy. A good share of it is meant for others, and God just puts it under our care. And Paul says God laid on him something, service. And you may not go out and plant 10 churches and go through Asia, and 3 missionary journeys and travel like Paul did and plant churches like he did. Nevertheless, wherever God has placed you is your mission field, your workplace, your family, your home, your friends, relatives, strangers on your way, strangers you meet. And Paul was focused to make sure that he accomplished that which God had called him to do. And as a church, we need to be committed. And you individually, you need to be committed to fulfilling your call, each one of us. Like I said, each year that ends, Jesus' return is sooner than when we first believed. We are 1 year closer again. And he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." We can often let the things that are in the past, things in the past, or things in the future cloud our progress. Victories in the past can block you from moving on. You can just remember when Peter, James, and John were taken up the mountain, the Transfiguration Mountain. They're like, "Lord, let's just stay here. It's beautiful out here. Let's just build tabernacles and spend the rest of our life here up the mountain." But God said, "No way. We have to go down the mountain and meet those people. They need to hear the gospel." So a wonderful past, a beautiful past, may cause us to just rest and sit and do nothing. "Oh, God was so good this year, and God was so faithful this year, and God was just so beautiful this year," and we just stay there. Don't you want to enjoy more of God's goodness and faithfulness and wonderfulness ahead? Paul says, "I press on. I move on." It's very deceptive as well and unrealistic to live in the future, to look at things ahead and do nothing about the present. We can say, "Oh, we are going to heaven. We are saved. We are blessed. Let's just sit here and do nothing." Yes, we are saved. Yes, you are forgiven, cleansed, blessed, but we should not stay in one place. We have to press on towards those things that are ahead of us. There are so many people to reach out to. There are so many believers here to love and encourage. There are so many things that we can do. There are so many kids in Sunday school that need to be taught. And so many things that we'll unveil next week that we want to see be accomplished this year in this church. And it takes your involvement individually. Everyone. Not one of us should just sit there and be a spectator of what God is going to be doing next year. Each one of us is going to step forward and be practically involved in God's mission through this church to this city. So let neither the past nor the future prevent us from present action. We look at the past, it's good, it's ugly, great. We move on. We look at the future, there are great things ahead of us. God has so much ahead of us, and let's go and apprehend those, like Paul says. We've not had it all. There is more ahead. He says, "I press forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize," verse 14, "of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The prize itself is the call, right? But we also know that at the end of our life, God is going to reward us for our ministry here, for his service here. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 59, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not vain in the Lord. We are not doing all this in vain. We're not pressing on in vain. We are not going to evangelize and encourage one another and teach Sunday school in vain. We have a reward that we should be looking forward to receive from the Lord himself. And that encourages me. I want to be before the Lord to receive a reward, don't you? Don't you want to? The second thing that Paul writes in verses 15 to 17, that we may be united. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Those who are really mature, Paul says, are united in mind, in thinking, and in work as well. And he says, if they do not, if there's anybody who does not think in unity or act in unity, Paul trusted that God would reveal the necessity of having it to them. He says that I trust that God will reveal this to those who don't understand it yet. And of course he will. He didn't have the attitude that if he failed, God would fail. God never fails. That if there's anything that God needs to reveal to his people, he will for their benefit. So let us be of the same mind. Let us be united in our effort to evangelize and to love one another within these walls. It is teamwork. We all have the same goal, right? We all want to see Christ glorified and honored in this city. We all want to grow. We all want to participate in the work that God has called us to do in this city. And we should all join our efforts, join our minds, and get to work. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 2, Paul says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of the same mind. We have one common enemy. It's the evil one. And there is no reason we should be divided in our effort to conquer more territory for Jesus Christ. We may have different opinions. We may have different gifts and abilities. But even in those diversities, we have the same Lord. We have the same mission. We have the same goal. We are not competing against each other. We're not even competing against any other church. We are working together to see the gospel furthered, more people come to faith. In Psalm 133, verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to live together in unity. It is so beautiful and good. And we will have more success in God's kingdom if we unite our efforts in furthering the gospel, in ministering to more people in this city. In Ephesians 4, verse 3, Paul said to Ephesians that endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's work towards unity. You have a different opinion. You have a different call. You have a different gift. We can all put our minds together to accomplish one goal, Jesus Christ and him honored. So I hope that as we wind up 2013, that we are not going to be held back by either our past successes or past failures, but that we commit to individually grow, that we individually work towards being conformed in the image of Jesus Christ. Each one of us needs to commit to growth, to more patience, to more love, more endurance, more perseverance, make more sacrifices, make some more time for prayer and
personal Bible study,
but also be actively involved in what God is doing in this church, that each one of us may take action in regard to the gift that God has given you, the resources that God has given you, and the abilities. We need more teachers. We need more ushers. We need more people to sing. We need more people to clean and tidy up this place for all the services. We need more people to be involved in the prayer ministry. We need more people to be involved in the evangelism. And we have all of them. You are out there. I encourage you to step out this coming year. And God is calling us to be united in mind, to be united in work. And if we are, it is good and it's pleasant. It's pleasing to the Lord. There are two ways, one Christian said, of being united. One is being frozen together, and the other is being melted together. What Christians need is to be united in brotherly love, and then they may expect to have power. There is going to be more power. We will impact this city for Jesus when we are united. Amen. So I wish you a very fruitful new year, 2014. Thank you, Jesus, for today, and thank you so much for your goodness in the past. And thank you so much for the lessons that we've learned with our mistakes in the past. And Lord, we are committing ourselves to grow, Lord, as a church. Individually, Father, Lord, making time to know you, to read your word, Lord, to worship you, to pray, to communicate with you. And Lord, we also are committed to fulfilling our ministry here in the city. Lord, as a church, we will step out and go your direction. Lord, I pray that you may empower us by your Spirit with your wisdom and strength, that we may be able to cover more territory for you, to reach out to more people, and to love one another, to love one another deeply as your word commands. And in loving one another, Lord, your word says the world will know that we are your followers. Lord, keep us united in mind, in purpose, Lord. I pray that through the differences we have, Lord, the opinions, the gifts, the abilities, that none would separate us, and nothing would separate us from our love for one another and from our love for you and from our service to you. So, Lord, we commend the new year into your hands, and we ask that you be honored, you be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.